another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here on this. Well, I have a question for you all. What happened to spring? Last week, I remember it was so glorious and everything. Sun was shining, birds were singing, leaves were popping, flowers were blooming, and those things are still happening, but I guess except for the sun shining. We haven't seen the sun in a while now. But still, you know what? The risen Lord is still risen, and the glory of Jesus is still amongst us here in this Easter season. We are still in the midst of this wonderful Easter season. I was thinking the Church's wisdom, it's a great thing that the Easter season is longer than the Lenten season. It may not seem like it, may not feel like it, but because Lent is filled with penitential practices. But yes, we're still rejoicing in our risen Lord, and the S-O-N, sun, continues to shine in our lives. And you know what? In the show today, we've got something else that will remind us of the warm, lazy, and hazy days of summer that are coming. We're going to focus on Catholic schools. We're going to be talking with Gail Dorn, the president of CISCO, the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. We're going to meet her. We're going to hear about what CISCO is all about and some of the wonderful things they're doing to support our Catholic schools. And then we're actually going to hear from a couple of students. We're going to hear from Rebecca Ranning and Michael Sweeney, who are going to tell us a little bit about what their experience in Catholic schools has been and also what their summer plans are. And they're going to talk a little bit about what exactly the Lord is leading them to do through their school experience and how they might kick back a little bit this summer and enjoy this great gift of summer that is, we hope, around the corner for us. So we're excited to welcome them to the show. And as we continue to lay out the vision of Catholic schools, and as we continue to focus on and hopefully pray for the good work that our teachers, our administrators, our principals do in Catholic schools, let's also remember to pray for the results of our Catholic schools as our students graduate from Catholic schools and move into society. You know, there are many, many ways that a good, solid Catholic foundation and Catholic education can influence our society at large. And I believe that it has in many, many ways, probably mostly unknown and unseen to us. And so it's really starting at a place where we can really, we can fortify this understanding, our Catholic understanding of the importance of family, of the importance of putting God first, of the importance of focusing on living an upright and just and peaceful and moral life. And we see these things saturate through our society by, in a large part, by focusing and passing on these things to the next generation. And knowing many people, including my wife, who work for and in the Catholic school system, I think we should continue to pray for them and uphold them in prayer as they see this, not just as the day-to-day work, but understanding how the Lord is working through them to saturate our society and redeem the times as Christ has called us to do. Okay, so that's a challenge I think that's out there. But just before we get into our interview with Gail Dorn, the president of CISCO, I want to pause and, as always, offer this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So why don't you pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go into a little bit of a break here, but we're going to come back with Gail Dorn, the president of CISCO, to hear about what the Lord's doing with our young people. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
Catholic schools within the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis form students to live out the gospel message, achieve academic excellence, and lead by faith, virtue, and reason. There are nearly 90 Catholic schools within the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, including elementary and high schools, located from Forest Lake in the north to Faribault in the south to Maple Lake in the west to the Wisconsin border in the east. Find a Catholic school near you or call 651-291-4500.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners, find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
And with the Lord, there is mercy. And with
Teach the children. Amen. Thank you to Paul Sadek, our technical producer, for throwing that in as part of our bump music there. And together with Susanna Boley, our producer, I'm Patrick Conley with you here on the Rediscover Hour this morning. And we are talking about CISCO, the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. Have you heard of CISCO before? Well, whether you have or haven't, you are going to learn about it through Gail Dorn, who's the president of CISCO. It's a pleasure to welcome Gail into the studio this morning. So welcome. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. So, yeah, let's start out just with the basic question. What is CISCO and what's it all about?
Well, the Catholic School Center of Excellence is an independent nonprofit. We were created almost 2 years ago with the sole focus of just doing two things. Our two things that we do, and I tell the staff, the talented staff that work with us, if you're not doing these two things, stop doing it.
Okay.
We only want to increase excellence in our Catholic grade schools, pre-K through 8th grade schools, and we want to increase enrollment. We want to bring more souls to Christ.
Mm.
We believe our schools are excellent, and we want them to continue to strive for excellence. And so that's the role we play, and it is a great honor to be able to do so.
Great. And when you say excellence, and you said bringing more souls to Christ. So mm-hmm. there's certainly that aspect of a spiritual excellence. But I'm guessing you also mean like academic excellence?
Yes, and spiritual sort of and academic.
Yeah.
Our schools are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And to be Catholic, we don't just educate our children, but we form them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is body, mind, and soul. And our schools do a beautiful job of this. It is something that is not done any other place in the educational landscape. Our Catholic schools are unique, different, and true. And what we do is a great calling. The people who run our schools, the faculty and staff, the principals, they are answering a vocation, and they are doing a terrific job. And our job as the Catholic School Center of Excellence is to help them continue to be excellent, and of course, more kids. We just want to reach as many families as possible that seek and desire a Catholic education mm. for their children. We want them to have access to these beautiful schools.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, we'll come back to that, but give me a little bit of the history of the Catholic School Center of Excellence. How did it get started?
It got started during a challenging time for our archdiocese. It was almost 2 years ago. Bishop Cousins, who is the Vicar of Education and a great leader and also a great lover of our Catholic schools, joined with several organizations, the Schultz Family Foundation and other Catholic school organizations in our archdiocese, like the Catholic Community Foundation, the GHR Foundation, and Aim Higher. And we all got together and said, first of all, how can we help these schools during this challenging time? The Schultz Family Foundation actually commissioned a study, and we went into all 79 schools. We met with all 79 of them. We sat down with their leadership and said, tell us what's going on. How can we help? And we actually created about 1,000 pages of data.
Wow.
In that study. I don't think it's ever been done before. Mm-hmm. And it was very valuable. And that's how we created our mission of increasing excellence in increasing enrollment. And it has just been a beautiful success so far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, give us a little bit of a picture about how, I mean, you've laid out the vision and the goals very well. So how do you strive towards accomplishing these goals? What are sorts of things does the Catholic School Center of Excellence do?
Well, we like to say that if you've been to one Catholic school, you've been to one Catholic school. These really are unique and different charisms at each school, and we respect that.
Yeah.
We work with the leadership of the parish and the school to understand what their goals are and to help them achieve them. So some things we do are very centralized. We publish a Catholic Schools magazine on behalf of all of our schools to celebrate their excellence. We host Ed Talks for our principals because we did discover that as we visited these 79 schools, there were terrific ideas, but no way to share them. And so we offer both monthly get-togethers for our schools, but also what we call a principal hub, a website that they're able to share quickly, helpful information with one another. So we connect them with one another as well. We help with enrollment strategies.
Okay.
We do teacher training, teacher academies. We have visited our schools to help them with technology. We have made investments, significant investments in our schools to get everybody up to speed, whether it is laptops for teachers or networking for our schools to make sure that they have access that they need to teach effectively. So we do a number of things, and really, we pray with our schools.
Mm.
We want them to be successful, and we want them to know that the wider community believes in them and supports them.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful, and we were just talking in the break there, as I led into the break, about some of the effects that our Catholic schools can have on not just, you know, adult Catholics, or as these children mature into adults, but also as adult citizens. And you were telling me that there's been some research that actually shows that yes, Catholic school does make a difference. Can you tell us a little
bit
about that?
It makes a huge difference. Yeah. We produce critical thinkers with mature moral values, and this is important not just to the leadership of our church, but to our country. And there is a lot of data out there that supports Catholic school graduates who are more likely to vote, more likely to be civically engaged, more likely to volunteer. They typically have better incomes. There's really some impressive data out there. What we do is important, and it is the future leadership of our church. So we pray for that, and these children are our future. But it is something that I think is supported by the wider community. We have experienced donors have come to Cisco who are not Catholic, who believe in what we do and want to invest in it, and we welcome that.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a real testimony to the work that you're doing there when you have folks that don't necessarily share the faith but want to support that just because they see the value educationally and societally about what you're doing there. So if I may, let me just ask you, Gail, about what are some of the main challenges you see out there now in terms of our Catholic schools, and what are the challenges that need to be met head on?
I would probably say the largest challenge, and not a big surprise, is affordability.
Yeah,
it is a difficulty. I grew up in an era. I was the youngest of a very large family, 12 children. My father was a firefighter. My parents were able, with sacrifice, but were able to send all of their children through Catholic schools.
Wow!
And I thank them for that. That was a terrific investment they made. That is really difficult for families today, particularly those who have many children, to be able to afford this. And so our great challenge is to find ways to keep it affordable for these families, because there is demand for Catholic education, but struggle to be able to pay for it.
And is that largely through providing scholarships and things like that, or are there other ways of going about that as well?
Well, first, let me say, and I'm very proud to share this, our schools are well-run, and they are frugal. Every school that I am in, every penny is spent with intention. There is no frivolous spending in our schools. Every investment we make, principals and teachers ask, will this benefit the formation of our children? So I just want to reassure listeners that that is indeed the case. It is alive and well. It is what I grew up with and what exists today in our beautiful schools. So we help schools, certainly, with fundraising, development, advancement opportunities. That is something that we hope to provide with our own fundraising, to be able to make investments in schools for scholarships, but also to invest in excellence, because we do believe that if we stay true to our mission as Catholic schools, that we will find a way. We will find a way to accommodate families and their needs. So, it is a difficult challenge in this day and age to afford it, but it can be done. I like to tell our schools, remember the immigrants who built these schools, and they did it with a nickel in their pocket. They really did. We built the largest private educational system in the world, our American Catholic grade schools, and we did so with immigrants working together. And so to honor them, I look at our culture today, and we have an embarrassment of riches. And we should be able to support these schools. We want to support them. We want them to know that they are doing great work, and we believe in them.
Right. So just a little snippet up from my own life and my own perspective, as in my other life, I'm an RCIA director. And I like to tell folks that, you know, as we mature in the faith, then we're also usually maturing professionally as well. And so there's actually a little bit of an enablement that the Lord is giving us in terms of our own giving. I believe that as we mature in the faith, we ought to take more and more seriously the call to live simply, and to look at the things that we own, become more detached from our material things. But as we're maturing professionally, typically anyway, we tend to make more money. And so there would be a little bit of this is the enablement that I'm talking about for the Lord to free up money through us. And I think, if I may say so, I think Catholic schools would be an outstanding investment, that there'd be something that we can give, because we are, as you said, we're investing in our own future, not just with the church, but also as a society.
It's a very high ROI, right?
Yes, right.
Return on investment,
right. Yeah, exactly, right. So affordability being one, and maybe this is, I'm sure it's directly related in some ways, but there might be other challenges as well. I'm thinking about enrollment. You mentioned that enrollment's a big thing that you focus on as well. And I know, being married to a Catholic school teacher, that yes, it's always a concern. It's always on the radar, is how many kids have we got signing up? How are we reaching out to new kids and inviting new families into the Catholic school system? So what are some of the things that you see there with enrollment, some of the challenges, and then some of the things that you're doing to address enrollment challenges?
Terrific.
As well?
Well, yes, enrollment is a challenge. And I would just say, on behalf of the schools, they have a great product. But we always haven't been terrific about talking about that product. So that is something that we love helping schools with, and we have been very successful. First of all, we've done something called admission squads. We work with volunteers and sometimes paid staff from schools, whether it's a parent who has a marketing background or somebody else in the larger community who's passionate about that school. We do training for them, and we invest in their enrollment strategies. So we've been able to do some of these things centrally, and some of them right directly with the school, you know, in a decentralized way. And that has been very successful. The other thing we've done is really focus on early childhood.
Oh, okay.
In this day and age, it is it's no longer the case that families show up with a five-year-old to decide where their child is going to school. Mm-hmm. It really is done at a much earlier age, sometimes when the child's in diapers. Yeah. So we acknowledge that we actually grew, expanded, and opened 41 new early childhood programs throughout our archdiocese last year.
Last year, a
10.8% increase in enrollment. It has been a huge success. And of course, these young families, we welcome them not just to Catholic preschool, which we have called Faithful Beginnings, our Catholic preschool programs, but we welcome them to their parish, into Catholic life. And so it's a beautiful evangelization that happens with these young families and young parents. So I'm happy to say, actually, last fall, for the first time in almost four decades, we did not lose students in our Catholic school system. We actually ever so slightly gained a few students.
Nice.
And that is a significant accomplishment. So
right.
we think we're going in the right direction.
And it takes a little bit of time to turn the Titanic around, as
Absolutely.
They say. Yes, right. Yeah, very good. Not that our Catholic schools are, I didn't mean to make to make them into the Titanic. That's not what I mean at all. No, we're doing well. So we're speaking with Gail Dorn, the president of the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. And you've said, Gail, that our Catholic schools are indeed Catholic, which is a good thing, right? And as Catholics, at the center of our lives, of course, is the Mass. And I wanted to bring up, you had this Mass of the Holy Spirit last year. Can you talk a little bit about what that was all about?
Oh, my goodness. We had in the early days some crazy ideas, and one of them was to rent a baseball stadium, the Saint Stadium, and fill it with our beautiful Catholic school students. We invited all 79 schools, 4th through 8th graders, to attend a Mass of the Holy Spirit, a tradition that actually dates back to the Middle Ages.
Wow.
This tradition of asking the Holy Spirit to bless our school year and to bless our students. So we did that. We had over 220 buses. We had 12,000 students and 2,000 chaperones, teachers, and principals. We had 60 priests, our wonderful Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins officiating, and we conducted the most beautiful Mass of the Holy Spirit. It just gives me chills to think about. It was a beautiful event, and just an incredible experience for our students, for our priests, for our principals, our teachers. They walked into that stadium, and it was such a success, we want to do it again.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, you were telling me that you've got some really good feedback from teachers and from students as well.
We were overwhelmed. We have been snowed with requests. Can we do it again? It is a very expensive endeavor. Mm. As I mentioned, all those buses and 14,000 lunches, and it was a big effort, and it went off flawlessly, and we would like to do it again. It costs about $20 per student to participate.
And you said you had 12,000 students there.
12,000 students.
All right, so do the math, and that's
we'd like to expand that to include more students, more teachers. We started with 14,000. We actually have sort of outgrown the Saint Stadium.
Wow.
So we'd like to do it again, and we are asking our wider community to help support that.
Wow.
So we have actually a website, supportthemass.org, that people can go to if they would like to contribute. And I ask, it does cost $20 per student, so it's a terrific investment, regardless of the level you are able to commit. But I also ask for your prayers, prayers for our students, that they get the opportunity to experience this, because it really had great impact. It had great impact.
One of the things that strikes me about the Mass of the Holy Spirit, with so many students in a baseball stadium, it's one of those things that these children are not likely soon to forget. In fact, they'll probably carry that memory with them throughout their entire lives. And that in and of itself makes it worth $20 per student to send a student to this thing, you know.
We had so many wonderful events happen after the Mass. And let me just share one. A school called us the next day and said, we have Eucharistic adoration before school every Friday. This Mass was on a Thursday, so the day before. And they said every student showed up for Eucharistic adoration.
Wow.
And we asked them, this is the best turnout we've ever had. We asked them why, and they said the Mass had really moved them to do so.
Amazing.
And there are dozens of stories like that. Parents who called me and said, My middle schooler memorized the homily that day and told me word for word what Archbishop Hebda said. And they asked me, they said, it's not often that my middle schooler can recite the homily
recite
word
the
for
homily.
Word. So
right.
we had dozens of people call and give us feedback like that. And it really was memorable. And it just motivates us to want to give this gift to our students. And it's important for them to see other Catholic schools in the power and strength of our church,
yeah.
our world church.
Yeah.
And so it is really an impactful experience.
It's a family reunion for our kids. Gail Dorn, the president of Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. Gail, we're going to invite some students in now to talk to them about this as well. But could you stick around with us through the hour?
I'd love to.
That'd be great. So we'll hear more from you. We're going to go to our second break now. And when we come back, we're going to have Rebecca Ranning, who's a fifth grader at St. Raphael's Catholic School in Crystal. So stay with us.
Hi, this is Rob Dubell from Grove Builders, your exterior remodeling company. Even with a mild winter, things do wear out when faced with our Minnesota elements. Maybe you've noticed some area around your home where we can help. Our local crews do siding, roofing, windows, and much more that can give your home an affordable fix or facelift. We're certified to install the best products along with being licensed and insured. I can provide a free estimate or consultation for improvements that you may need done this year. By fixing small problems around your home now, you'll avoid further damage and save money in the long run. At Grove Builders, we do only the work that is needed and we'll do it quickly. I hope you'll call us for roofing, siding, windows, and doors. We use only the best replacement materials and do the work for Relevant Radio listeners across the Twin Cities. You can reach me at 763-229-0923. That's 763-229-0923. Grove Builder. We'll do the work that lasts the hot summers and cold winters. Trusted, reliable, and insured. Grove Builders.
The Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, and we're talking about the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence and our Catholic schools here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And joining us now in studio, we have Rebecca Ranning, who's a fifth grader at St. Raphael's Catholic School in Crystal. Sixth grader. Oh, that's right, because fifth grade is almost done, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Are you finishing the sixth grade?
I'm finishing sixth grade.
Oh, my goodness. So I apologize. And all
it's
of
fine.
I know every, you know, so many people listening to this. Well, you just look young for your age, which at some point you'll, you know, you really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, welcome to the show, Rebecca. It's great to have you with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And we were just talking about this Mass of the Holy Spirit. Did you go to that Mass?
Yes, we did attend our school.
So what did you think?
It was super fun. Like, there were so many people there, and, like, we all got to sit together, and we were with a musical group called Sonar, and
yeah.
they were, like, singing beautiful songs for us, and we got to sing along with them, too.
Right. So, I'm just curious. Now, whereabouts in the stadium were you
We got to sit on the grass, which most
what?
People were, like,
really?
They wanted to sit in the stands, but then it was so great to sit in the grass. You
yeah.
know, we had, like, bags to sit on or our coats. Yeah.
Right, right. How was the weather that day?
At first, it was supposed to rain, and, like, we were really afraid that it was going to rain. Maybe it drizzled a little bit, but then all of a sudden, while we were having Mass, the sun came out, and it was so beautiful, and it was such a blessing.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's a huge blessing. Wow. Wow. So, would you, if they had it again, would you go again?
Yes, definitely. It was
Absolutely.
So fun.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. And your friends would, too, you think?
Yes, definitely. They
Very
would,
good.
Too.
Very good. So, also wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Thoughts on, I hear that you have thoughts on Mary and thoughts on the
mm-hmm.
faith. What do you think of our Blessed Mother?
Mary is such an important part of our lives. Like, Mary's just like any of our mothers. She wants us to grow up in love and our faith, and she wants us to grow up strong. And, like, us Catholics don't necessarily worship Mary, but instead we go to her for, like, guidance.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true enough. And so how do you go to Mary for guidance?
Most of the time when I'm, like, having a hard time with things, I ask her or I pray, like, a Hail Mary to her
mm-hmm.
and just ask her for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. And she loves us. She's our mother,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's
yeah.
an important thing to go
she
to.
She loves us unconditionally.
Unconditionally, yes, which is the only kind of true love there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about faith in general? I mean, how would you describe your relationship with the Lord?
To me, faith, I think it's great for Catholics because it's cool to be part of something, like, there's someone greater than us that loves us so much, and, like, we can be a part of a community that believes in everything that we believe in, you know, and we can all just be one.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, this is a sixth grader, folks. Remember this. I have, I don't want to let too much of the cat out of the bag, but I have certainly run into other folks who are much older than sixth graders who couldn't be as articulate about our faith. Yes, absolutely. Right. So tell us a little bit about your school experience there at St. Raphael's. What's it been like being a student there?
I love St. Raphael's because we have so many after-school activities for, like, our faith. Like, we have Saturday Night Alives where we, a bunch of people come together at our church and, like, we have Mass and do activities and have adoration at the end. And we have, like, youth room is at our church after school on Tuesdays. And we have one later today, too.
Really?
And we come together at the church and, like, you get to hang out with your friends and there's, like, games you can play. Yeah.
So it sounds to me like there's plenty of interaction, social time, that sort of thing factored
into
the school experience, right? Do you actually go to class, too, in the midst of all these things?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. All right. What's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject is probably math or religion.
Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, go math and religion. Not science, huh? I have to ask because my wife's a science teacher.
Yeah, science is really fun, too.
Okay, good.
We do some experiments.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. And so what about summer? I mean, we're sitting here and it's, I don't know, what is it, like minus 30 out there? No, it's not quite that cold. But it feels cold because it's May and it's supposed to be cold and the sky is a little bit dreary here and we've had a lot of rain. So give us some hope, Rebecca. Help us to, what are your plans for the summer? What are you going to do?
This summer, I'm going to Extreme Faith Camp. It's something that a bunch of Catholic schools go to, and we go to Mass like every morning, and my brother's been there, and a bunch of other people just always say it's so fun, and this will be my first year going.
Oh,
it goes up to 8th grade, and then you can be part of like a prayer group in high school and stuff, which is really cool. And I'm also going to Summer Stretch, which is also through our church.
Okay.
So we like help out the community and go to like Feed My Starving Children on one day, which is really cool that we get to help out everyone.
Wow. Okay, so Extreme Faith Camp and Summer Stretch, you said. And both of these are faith-related, obviously.
Yes, They're through our church.
Expressing your Catholic faith in the summer. And that's what you're looking forward to in the summer?
Yes, I'm very excited.
How about that? Wow, yeah. I think when I was your age, what I looked forward to in the summer was A, not going to school, B, hanging out with my friends, and C, maybe, I don't know, going to an amusement park or something like that. But here you are doing these fun camp things. That's absolutely wonderful. So tell us a little bit. I'm just curious about this Extreme Faith Camp. You said that your brothers have gone already?
Yeah, my brother went.
Your brother?
Yeah, my brother said that there's like a bunch of masses that you go to. And one of the great parts about it is because during adoration, they have the priest goes up to everyone and puts the monstrance in front of each one and you get a blessing.
Really?
And everyone that I've heard go there says that it's just completely changed their lives and
really?
Their faith. That it's so amazing. Like, they get a wonderful feeling. And, yeah, a lot of people will say that that's, like, where they really got into their faith.
You draw really close to the Lord that way.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's right there.
Right there
in
front of you.
Yeah. It's like an individual benediction for every person there. It's amazing. How many people go? How many students go?
There's a bunch of schools. I don't know exactly how many, but there's so many Catholic schools, probably like a lot of them go, and that's why you have to like sign up early because you want to get a spot, you know.
Right.
I think it might have just ended that you can sign up, but it was,
But something to, if people haven't signed up then for this year, then they could look forward to next year maybe doing something like that. Yeah, you said this is your first year going, is it?
Yeah,
right?
This is my first year. You get to go in sixth grade.
Yeah, when does that occur? I mean, what, like, is it June, July, August?
I think it's in June.
Okay.
If I'm correct.
All right. Very good. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And so do you have any favorite, you said Hail Mary. Do you have any favorite prayers?
My favorite prayer is probably the St. Michael or Hail Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, you say those pretty regularly, do you?
Yeah, we say every morning at our school. Yeah. We do a bunch of different prayers.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how many students do you have in your grade, do you know?
In my grade, we have 17.
17? Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Which I like having a smaller class because you can grow up with them.
Yeah, that's right. You get to share with one another. Are you do you think your friends, are they excited about the faith? Do any of them go to Extreme Faith Camp or anything like
yeah,
that?
A lot of them do. A lot of people in our school go to Extreme Faith Camp. I'm going with some of my close friends.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Gail, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation here, too. So when Rebecca walked in, it seemed like you've met Rebecca before.
Yes, yes. Actually, Rebecca and I were able to be interviewed a couple weeks ago on a local television station talking about the Mass of the Holy Spirit, and she's a very articulate student.
Yes,
I would also
as we found out.
Yes. I would also say St. Raphael's is just a beautiful school, and you have a wonderful principal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Kuhn, Ann Kuhn. A terrific preschool that is growing in that school, which is really wonderful to see, and so many talented teachers at that school. So I love your school, and the leadership is terrific. So it's really fun to hear you talk about mm-hmm. it in such glowing terms. You're lucky to go there.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So Rebecca, it looks like we're actually running out of time already, and it seems like it's been like over too quickly, right? But
yeah.
I'm really grateful that you could be on the show this morning. Let me ask you this. You know, we do have people, hopefully a lot of people, who are listening to the show. How can we pray for you? Do you have any specific prayer intentions? Like one specific prayer intention that we could pray for you?
I guess just that we can all, like, I'm trying to think, that we can all, I think that everyone should pray the rosary more.
Oh, that's okay.
Because we need Mary in our lives.
God bless you. We certainly do need Mary in our lives. Wow. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
Beautiful.
Encouragement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Rebecca, it's been great having you on the program this morning. Thank you for coming by.
Thank
you. And you know what? God bless you. And we look forward to seeing what the Lord does through your life.
Thank you.
God bless you. We're going to go to our final break here. And when we come back, Michael Sweeney is going to come in and join us. And he goes to St. Therese in Deep Haven. So stay with us. We'll be back with Michael just after this.
Rediscover.
Every year, ordinary men are doing the extraordinary by answering God's call to the priesthood. This is Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, rector of the St. Paul's Seminary School of Divinity. It is my privilege to shepherd 85 men currently in formation for the priesthood as they prepare for a lifetime of service to the Church and to God's people. Their preparation is supported by four pillars of formation: human, intellectual, spiritual, and pastoral. God willing, they will one day baptize your children or grandchildren, hear your confession, or anoint a loved one. They are joyful ambassadors for Christ, will build up your parish, and walk with you on your journey of faith. Please pray for these men, especially the men who will be ordained to the priesthood this year. May God bless you and keep you.
To learn more about priestly formation at the St. Paul Seminary, visit stpaulseminary.org.
I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here. Relevant Radio, we're talking about the Catholic School Center of Excellence, and we're getting a little bit of hope for the summer through speaking with some of our Catholic school students. We just heard from Rebecca Ranning, who attends St. Raphael's in Crystal. And now joining us in studio is Michael Sweeney, who's I have to ask this time, what grade are you in,
Mike? I'm a fifth grader.
Okay, good. I've got the right thing here. All right. So fifth grader at St. Therese in Deep Haven, is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And let's see. Your brother William, I see here, is in eighth grade. And he's going to be going to Washington, D.C., or he is in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he is. I think it's his fourth day there today.
Wow. So. Wow. Have you heard from him?
Yeah. They're actually posting on Twitter some of the stuff they get to do, so it's really cool. It looks like they're having a lot of fun.
Excellent. Excellent. Wow. That's amazing. Now, you know, the thing, I think we better put it right up here at the top here, which just to make sure that we hit it, the thing I want to talk to you about most is you submitted a letter. You participated in a letter-writing campaign and contest earlier this school year, and your letter was chosen to be in the upcoming book, Ask the Archbishop. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
All right. So we're going to have you read a little bit of the letter, but Gail, I want to go back to you and ask about this whole project about Ask the Archbishop. Can you give us a little bit of the history on that?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, it was a brilliant idea for one of our schools, Visitation School. A group of teachers contacted us and said, hey, we love this book called Ask Pope Francis, a very popular book, and we would like to do our own version and with the Archbishop, and we would like to share that idea with all of our 79 schools and allow the students to participate in this letter-writing process. And so their great idea they were willing to share with all of our schools, and we're in the process now of not just selecting those letters, but having Archbishop have to answer them,
yeah.
And then publishing the book, hopefully later this year or early next year.
Wow. So. It's excellent. It's an excellent project. And yeah, okay, Michael. So why don't you start reading there? I might interrupt you because I just have questions about it, but go ahead.
Okay, just right from the beginning?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Dear Archbishop Hebda, my name is Michael Sweeney. I am a fifth grader at St. Tree School in Deep Haven, Minnesota. My teacher is Mrs. Goff, and there are 18 kids in my class, including myself. I'm grateful that I'm getting the chance to write to you. I also love school, and I'm very passionate about basketball also.
Wait, let me ask you that. How long have you been passionate about basketball?
Well, I started following the NBA a lot, like 2 years ago probably.
Who's your favorite team?
The Warriors.
The Warriors? What? Golden State?
Yeah.
You live in Minnesota. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I'm a Timberwolves fan too, though.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, continue.
I have a few questions for you that I hope you can help answer. My first question is, since you are the Archbishop, do you have your own house or do you live in a convent with other priests in it?
Good question.
Secondly, when you are in public, do you have to bring your staff with you? Because I think that would kind of be a hassle.
Okay, wait, let me interrupt. So when you mean staff, you mean like his crozier,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, the thing that he carries.
Yeah.
Not like his whole archdiocesan staff, right? Because that's what, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead, continue.
Also, I was wondering if archbishops have the same system for saying the Mass. I know that each priest says the Mass differently, but do archbishops have to do something that school priests don't have to do?
Okay, also another good question. All right, go ahead.
Finally, I just want to thank you for doing a fantastic job doing God's work every day and leading the Catholic Church in Minnesota. I've only seen you say the Mass once, but I can tell that you are an intelligent, kind, and loving person. I learned that you went to Harvard and a law school at Columbia University, so you inspire me to keep going on to try my hardest all the time in school and just in life. Thank you for reading my letter and working hard with God. Sincerely, Michael.
That's a beautiful, beautiful letter, Michael. Yeah, very well written, very astutely written, some very good things in there. So you said you got to see the Archbishop say a Mass once. Where was that?
Well, it was at the...
The big Mass?
Yeah.
The Mass of the Holy Spirit.
Yep,
yeah.
Sorry,
so you were there too?
Yep.
Yeah? What did you think of that Mass?
I think it was really cool. I heard Rebecca say that there was a band that they were really good.
Yeah. Sonar. Yeah.
Yep. There was a lot of priests there too. I think it was organized really well also. So.
Oh, good. Well, feather in your cap there,
yes,
Dale.
Yes,
well done.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 You said there were 60 priests there. Is that right?
Yeah. 60 priests. It was a beautiful thing to see them process in. And also, just a quick memory after the Mass, as they were leaving the stadium, our priests were really mobbed by the loving crowd.
That's great.
I heard children, you know, they were looking for their parish priest, so they would spot them and say, Father, 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 and then I would hear just these beautiful, we love you, thank you, we love you. It was a beautiful moment to see our priests be cherished for the fine people that they are and their holiness and their answer yes to their vocation.
Yeah.
And they are beloved. And it was another beautiful aspect of this Mass to be able to honor them in that way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Especially in, as you said, these kind of trying times for our archdiocese. And the stigma that's out there specifically about priests and children, I think it's great to see children encouraging, encountering, and loving their priests. So
absolutely.
Thanks be to God.
Absolutely.
A great testimony. So, Michael, back to you for a minute. Now, when did you find out that your letter was actually going to be or was chosen as to be part of the book?
It was at our school Wednesday Mass 2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay, so this is relatively recent.
Uh-huh.
So what's going to happen? I mean, you go to a reception there or something, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so I think it's just, like you said, a reception with all the other people who are going to be in the book and their families. And on the letter here that I have, it just says that they're going to, like, we're going to get to meet the Archbishop and stuff.
So you get to meet him?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like shake his hand and everything?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. Wow, and you haven't met him before. I mean, you saw him say the Mass,
yeah,
but you didn't.
I haven't met him yet, no.
Okay, all right, very good. Wow, I love the idea, and it sounds like it's a great opportunity for you. Now, just shifting gears a little bit, I hear I'm supposed to ask you about your love of the faith and of the saints.
Okay, yeah.
What do you love about the faith?
Well, I think it's really good for education because. And just life in general, because you can always go to God when you're sad or having trouble in
right.
different places. So yeah.
Right. And do you have trouble in school sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that I did too, and that's I have trouble in life sometimes.
Mm.
And it's great to know that we can always go to God. How about the saints? Any favorite saints?
Well, I like Saint Michael.
Yeah.
A lot, just yep. because it's my name.
Yeah.
And
that seems to fit.
Yeah. I also like. St. John Bosco, I like to.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Our parish priest likes him a lot, too. So,
yeah.
Father Andre.
Yeah, yeah, Father Andre, that's right. Yeah, okay, wonderful. And what about your school experience? What do you like there about St. Therese?
A lot of things. I've been there since kindergarten, so for 6 years.
Okay.
And the community is really great there.
Yeah.
All the teachers are really encouraging to everybody, and it's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. And having been there for so long a time, so you're going to stick it out there, obviously.
Yep.
You're going to stay there. That's wonderful. And you said there's 18, I saw in your letter, it's
yep.
18 kids in your class, yeah?
Yeah.
And do you get along well with them? I mean, are they good friends?
Yeah, there's actually four new kids who came this year from St. John's the Baptist.
Yeah.
In Excelsior.
Yeah.
And they got to become really good friends of mine. So,
oh, good. Yeah. Good. Wonderful. Excellent. And okay, so let's ask about your summer plans. What? Give us some hope on this dreary day. What are you doing for the summer?
Well, like I said, I really like basketball, so
yep.
I hope to do some basketball camps.
Nice.
And I'm not old enough to do, like, some religious camps yet, like Rebecca said.
Right.
My brother does, though.
Oh, okay.
He has some fun stuff, like, I think it's called Net Night.
Net Night, yeah.
Yeah, and so he goes to those, but we also sail on Lake Minnetonka, too.
Really?
So, yeah, that's fun.
Sailing and basketball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sounds pretty exciting. Now,
yeah.
do you play basketball? Do you shoot hoops just by yourself, or do you have friends that you play with?
Yeah, we will go to, like, Thorpe Park by
okay.
my house, or just I'll shoot around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very good. What's your favorite way of playing basketball? Do you play horse, or do you play one-on-one, two-on-two?
I like one-on-one or just a five-on-five game.
Okay. Do kids still play horse these days?
Yeah.
You know
pig,
what that is?
Pig, yeah. Pig.
Oh, it's shorter game, right? That's right. So you can play more games and then, yeah, okay, very good. We used to play horse and then, you know, if we had the whole afternoon, we'd play rhinoceros or something like that.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure we knew how to spell that. So anyway. Yeah, okay. So if there's one thing that you could do when you grow up, Michael, do you have any plans for your life? I mean, I'm assuming that your favorite thing that you'd want to do is to be an NBA star.
Yeah, we were thinking, I've always wanted to do that, but it'd probably take up too much time because you want to be
right.
with, like, people and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's right. So any other thoughts if you don't end up being an NBA star?
Probably, I just want to be like a dad, probably, so.
That's a great calling, a great vocation, a very important one. Yeah,
that's right.
A very important one. And have you been to a Timberwolves game before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you have one on the calendar yet? Are you going to be going to one?
I don't know. I don't know yet. We usually try to go when they play the Warriors.
Because that's your favorite
yeah.
team. That makes sense.
Then it's team versus team. So.
All right. Well.
I just like to say one wonderful thing about St. Therese in Deephaven.
Yeah.
And maybe people already saw this in the Catholic Spirit because it was featured, but they had 10 baptisms
yeah.
of students. At St. Therese,
mm-hmm.
our wonderful Father Andre and our principal, Lauren Caton, lead a very faith-filled environment. And so that's a beautiful thing about our Catholic schools and the evangelizing that takes place there. But 10 students were baptized
yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
What a wonderful, again, testimony mm-hmm. to how, yeah, it starts young, right? We start introducing our kids to the faith at a young age, and then they please God. We'll have that as a foundation. Now, I know that there's probably many people listening right now who, you know, maybe they've had children who were raised Catholic, but they've gone away from the faith. But I think that there's lots of testimonies to how, even if they go away from the faith, that foundation that we lay when they're young will bring them back at some point, you know, please God.
God always welcomes them.
Amen. God always welcomes them. That's right. So, Michael, I'll ask you the same question I asked Rebecca here as we're in our couple final closing minutes here with you. Any particular way that we can pray for you, everybody who's listening?
I don't really know.
Okay. How about anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe just to keep trying to do best in everything I do to be a good person.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So. Amen. Well, we want you to be a good person. I'm sure the Lord wants you to be a good person, too. Mm-hmm. St. Michael does. St. John Bosco does. I don't know if the Warriors actually want you to be a good person or not. So, you know, it's something to consider when you're picking your basketball teams. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on
the show
this morning. Yeah, it's been great having you on. And Gail, let's return just for the last couple of minutes here. Just remind us if we're interested in learning more about Cisco or specifically about the Mass of the Holy Spirit that you're trying to put together again, where can we go? Where can we learn more about the Catholic School Center of Excellence?
If you are inclined to help us put on another Mass of the Holy Spirit, please visit supportthemass.org and help us do so. And also help us with prayer, your prayer. We appreciate that. And the Catholic School Center of Excellence has a wonderful website. It's cisco-mn.org.
And so that Cisco is?
CSCOE-MN.org. And we have several websites for our schools as well. Faithful Beginnings is our early childhood preschool programs.
Right, you mentioned that.
Yep. Yes, yes. And we, of course, want you to visit one of our beautiful 79 Catholic grade schools.
Yeah.
If you are interested in having your family receive a Catholic education.
Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful. Gail, thank you for being on the program as well and for giving us this introduction to Cisco. It's been great having you with us.
Anytime.
Yeah, and you know what? As the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis, we're also focusing on grandparents too, so I wanted to give a quick shout out to some upcoming events. For those grandparents who are listening who would like to get more involved and figure out how they can pray for their grandchildren, Wednesday, May 24th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the St. Joseph Hall of the New Chancery, 777 Forest Street, we'll be doing some grandparents study group training. That's a workshop that's coming up. On Wednesday, June 14th from 5:30 to 7 at the New Chancery at 777 Forest Street in St. Paul, we'll be doing a workshop called Learning Technology to Connect with Grandchildren. This is the way that we go about our connection these days is through technology. So learn technology that way. And finally, Tuesday, June 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, we're going to have a workshop on Faith and Freedom, Grandparents and Grandchildren Pray at the Cathedral. With that, let's turn to our community events. Paul?
Well, we've got a ton more, too.
Absolutely.
Be part of the new evangelization at the Archdiocese. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
Here's some more information on that grandparents study group training workshop hosted by the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. That's going to be on May 24th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis Chancery. Join us to learn about two wonderful grandparents study guide options. First, grandparents living the faith on our journey to eternity. Or second, the Grand Adventure, A New Call to Grandparenting. A free will offering will be accepted. Please register by going to the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.com.
In honor of the 100-year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults invite all young adults to a speaker series on the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal. Come to the Cathedral of St. Paul's Hayden Hall Wednesdays, May 24th and May 31st. Learn more about our Blessed Mother's message on how to become closer to God. Talks will begin at 7 p.m. We'll pray the rosary at 6:30 p.m. Light refreshments provided. For more information, visit the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults Facebook page.
Married couples, celebrate the gift of your occasion at the Archdiocesan Marriage Day Celebration Mass with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 3rd. Those celebrating their silver and golden anniversaries in the 2017 calendar year will be honored in a special way. Family and friends are welcome, and all couples may request a special certificate. Submit requests by May 30th by emailing Sonia at flomos@archspm.org. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
You're invited to the annual Pentecost Mass, sponsored by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office, Saturday, June 3rd, 7 p.m. at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony. Praise and worship begins at 6:30 p.m. Archbishop Bernard Hebda will be the celebrant and homilist. Fellowship will follow the Mass. Visit the CCRO website at www.ccro-msp.org or call 763-571-5314 for more details.
Mary's Meals invites you to join in a fundraiser at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo on Saturday, June 3rd from 9 to 11 a.m. Mary's Meals is an international organization that provides one meal per day in a child's place of education for over 1.2 million children in over 14 countries around the world. Come and join us for a fun educational morning and learn how you can become involved in feeding children around the world using your little acts of love. Free admission and no RSVP is required. For more information about Mary's Meals, visit marysmealsusa.org or call Deborah or Wayne Waldera at 651-772-6935.
Boy, do you think there's hope for the world after hearing this show today?
Oh my goodness. Thanks be to God. That was just absolutely wonderful.
And next week, already into Memorial Day
weekend. We are. It is Memorial Day weekend. It's ordination weekend next weekend.
That's right.
So there's all sorts of great things going on. Next week, we're going to focus on Memorial Day. We're going to focus on the people who have given their lives in service to the country and the people who continue to give their lives and live in that in the service realm. So we're going to honor active service people, we're going to honor veterans, and we're going to honor those specifically who have died in service to our country. We're going to be joined by Father Michael Cregan. Father Cregan was born in Japan and grew up in Hudson. He serves as chaplain for the Army National Guard and is the pastor of the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul. We're also here from Ben Tlugan, a former sergeant in the United States Army Reserve who served for 6 years. That's what's coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. I hope this show has been as inspiring for you, our listeners, as it has for me to meet these young people. We're so grateful for the work of the Lord in their lives and their faithful response. It sets an example for us all. So in the meantime, friends, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.